There goes that school bell. Run, run, run. Don't be late. Get your seat. Make sure you grab your Bible along the way and sit down and enjoy another class session from the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you will, when you have your Bible, find the book of Esther. We're going to be looking at two verses from Esther chapter 6. Actually, three verses. Esther chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. And we've been studying the book of Ezra. If I said Esther, we're going to go to Esther in a few minutes, but Ezra is the book you need to turn to. Ezra chapter 6. And as we've been studying the book of Ezra, we've been reading and studying about how the children of Israel returned to Babylon and rebuilt their temple and the problems they had along the way. Well, what they wanted to do was to worship God as it is written, and that's exactly what they should have done. God wanted his temple built in Jerusalem. He wanted the Jews to go to Jerusalem to worship. And so that temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of their Babylonian captivity, after 70 years, the children of Israel returned, and with their leadership of Ezra, they come back and rebuild that temple. And we had already studied now how the old men that remembered that glorious temple of Solomon that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, how when they saw the foundation laid for the new temple, they wept. The young people rejoiced. And what was ahead, the old men wept over what they had lost from behind. And so it was a very emotional and moving occasion. But the inhabitants of the land about Jerusalem discouraged the children of Israel from building the temple and actually wrote letters and brought about a process where that was halted. The rebuilding of their temple was halted, and they needed some encouragement. And so we're going to read about the encouragement that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah gave the children of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem, and so how that by that encouragement they were able to complete the rebuilding of that temple. Now, while you're turning to the book of Ezra chapter 6, where we'll study that lesson, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I know a lot of times we call the meeting house where we worship the church, but we know what the church is. The church is the people that meet in the house, and not the house itself. And I just prefer the term meeting house. So I tell you the location of the meeting house, where it is that the church gathers together to worship. And just like in the book of Ezra, when we gather together for worship, we want to worship as it is written. The New Testament tells us how to worship, and we want to worship in just that way. And that is why, when you come to the services of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, and I think, if I can say this, about every one of the 45 Churches of Christ in Warren County, you're going to come and the worship is going to be congregational singing without instruments. And people think it's peculiar that we do not use instruments in our worship. And they do not know that historically it is peculiar to use instruments in worship. The broad and widespread use of mechanical instruments in worship is really a thing that has only taken place in the latter years. Now, you might find some instances of it in the distant past, but not too far distant, maybe about 500 years ago, or maybe even 1,000 years ago. But for 1,000 years, when the church gathered together to worship God, they sang. And it was after about 1,000 years, where in a few places, in a few instruments, mechanical instruments were introduced. But they did not have widespread acceptance for the past, say, 100 years, or at the most 150 years, the widespread use of those. And we don't use them in our worship.
And the reason is we want to worship as it is written. I know they used instruments in the worship of the temple of the Old Testament, but we don't worship in the temple of the Old Testament. We worship as we gather together as the church of the New Testament. And in the New Testament, they sang. Let's get back to our lesson. This is from the book of Ezra. And I will read to you from Elam's notes, his notes on this passage, and it's about the encouragement of Haggai and Zechariah. In chapters 5 and 6 of Ezra, we read that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah taught and encouraged the Jews to return to the work of building the temple until it was completed. And then, in Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Let me find that. Ezra 6, verses 14 through 16. We read that the elders of the Jews builded and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. And so that is a great passage, and a passage where we can just feel the joy of their completing their temple. Cyrus reigned from B.C. 529, 6 years after the work of rebuilding the temple began. Cyrus was succeeded by his son Cambyses, Ahasuerus of chapter 4 in verse 6, who reigned until B.C. 522. Artaxerxes, the usurper, succeeded Cambyses and reigned only 8 months and was succeeded in B.C. 521 by Darius. It is thought by some that Xerxes and Artaxerxes were titles assumed by Persian kings and not their real names. In the second year of the reign of Darius, Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to encourage the Jews to resume the work on the house of God. This was B.C. 519. And you can read the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah that go and fit into this time period. Haggai showed this. 1. The time had come to build the house of God. 2. It was wrong to dwell in sealed houses while the house of God was waste. 3. God had sent the drought because his house had not been completed. 4. God would be with them since they had resolved to resume the work. 5. While this house seemed to some as nothing, it should be more glorious than the former one. And 6. God, who rules over all, would crown their work with success. The result was that the Jews went to work in the face of all opposition. Tantinia, the governor of the country at the time, he, Shurthar Bosnia, some officer of rank, and his companions first asked the elders who were working by the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah and under God's care, therefore, who gave them a decree to build the temple and finish the wall round about the city. These elders made a courteous, humble, and straightforward answer and confession of sins of their people, stating that Cyrus had made the decree to build the house of God and to place in it the vessels Nebuchadnezzar had carried out of the temple of Solomon to Babylon. That house, that upon that decree, Sheshbazzar had come and laid the foundation of the house. But that since that time, until the time of this inquiry, the house had been in building and was not yet complete. Without prejudice or malice, Tantania and Shuthar Bosnia wrote these facts to Darius, asking if Cyrus had made such a decree and requesting the king's pleasure concerning the matter. Upon investigation, Darius found that Cyrus had made the decree, giving the dimensions of the house and ordering that the expense be paid out of the king's treasury, and the vessels mentioned above to be returned. Therefore Darius returned answer, favoring the work of the Jews, and ordering Tantinia and Shishtharbosnia and his companions not only not to hinder them, but to assist them financially in the work. Also, that such things as they should need for sacrifice and offerings be given to them, and they be requested to pray for the life of the king and his sons. Tantinia and those with him joined heartily in carrying out these directions of King Darius. Therefore, in the sixth year of the reign of Darius, the house of God was finished, 70 years after it had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and 20 years after the return of the first Jews from Babylon. Now that concludes the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for August the 6th, 1922. And on the following page, at the same opening of this little book of Elam's notes that I have before me, I find a Sunday school lesson 7 days later for August the 13th, 1922. And the title of this lesson is Esther Saves Her People. Now there's a reading from Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, and it goes through chapter 5 of verse 3. But I'm not going to read that directly. I will read that in time, and that's where our lesson is going to concentrate as we proceed with this. But I want to read to you the book of Esther itself. Before I do so, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Esther. It is a beautiful story in the Old Testament that you're going to love about really a little orphan girl that had been carried captive unto the foreign nation here of Persia. And she grew up there, but her older cousin had adopted her and raised her up, and how she became the queen of the land, and how as queen she was able to save her people from destruction. Now, there's several main characters in the book of Esther. We're going to read about Ahasuerus, the incompetent king, and about Vashti, his queen, and she is the one who is remembered as the one who said no. And we'll read about Haman, a wicked villain, and Mordecai, the steady citizen, and the main character, or the seems like the character we focus on mostly and we're most impressed with here, is Esther, the little orphan girl that became queen. Her very name means the rising star, and we'll see her star rise throughout this story. However, the main character is not named in the book. In fact, he's not even mentioned in the book. And you only find him really between the lines. And while we read the book, it is obvious that he is there on every page and every chapter and every verse and every word. But he's not named or mentioned in the book, nor even directly referred to. And that, of course, is God. God is always the main character of every human story. And this is a story of God's providence. He is unnamed and unseen in the book of Esther, and yet he is the main character. And he is unnamed and unseen often in the lives of men, but he's the main character of their story. The key verse, or the key words to the book of Esther, are found in the book of Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, where Mordecai says to Esther, "Who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Those very words imply that Mordecai knew that God had plans and was suggesting that Esther, if she would do what she should, could be part of those plans. Well, we're going to return to this story in the next class. So get your Bibles, mark it to the book of Esther, and then come back for the next class, and we'll begin the study of that great book.